Quoting, "In matters of conscience, the soul must be left untrammeled. No one is to control another's mind, to judge for another, or to prescribe his duty. God gives to every soul freedom to think and to follow our own convictions." Desire of Ages, 550. Quote, "You belong to God, soul, body, and spirit. Your mind belongs to God, and your talents belong to Him also. No one has a right to control another man's mind and judge for another, prescribing what is his duty. There are certain rights that belong to every individual in doing God's service. No man has any more liberty to take these rights from us than to take life itself. God has given us freedom to think, and it is our privilege to follow our impressions of duty. We are only human beings, and one human being has no jurisdiction over the conscience of another human being. Each one of us has an individuality, an identity that cannot be surrendered to any other human being. We are individually the workmanship of God." Letter 92, 1895. But when you go to a meeting where you find a boring presentation, a meeting that isn't necessarily hypnotic, but just a regular boring meeting, and you crave the Word of God and you're hungry, and what should you do? Well, if you're attending your local church, always take a copy of Desire of Ages or some other good book with you. If you find that the message is irrelevant, boring, or upsetting, open God's Word and become absorbed in it and get a feast for your soul. Now, this counsel is given on the assumption that you are in a situation in which you cannot easily walk out and leave, and it's not a what we call a hypnotic type situation. But these things do happen. You cannot be caught when you're absorbed in God's Word. Keep that in mind. But there are those situations in which you dare not sit silently. There are situations in which something must be done. And that which is presented may be more than boring, it may be dangerous air. Sometimes you must get up and walk out, taking your loved ones with you. And when possible, you try to warn others before you leave. You know, actually, it's a fact. Do not be passive when error is being presented. This is extremely important. Don't just quietly sit and take it in. But what should you do? If it is a house meeting, you must speak up when error is presented. Do not let it pass, for then more error will be piled on. For that is how the false teachers operate. They present an error, then use that as the basis for another one. Soon so much speculation is flying by, the audience gives up trying to analyze it for correctness. An entire structure of confused falsehoods is gradually stacked up, each on top of another. Such a situation is mesmerizing in its effect. My friend, babbling is confusion, and confusion is hypnotic. There are times when you dare not stay and listen to confusing presentations. Get out of there. In fact, seriously, there are times to be quiet, and there are times when something must be said. Quote, "Again and again we shall be called to meet the influence of men who are studying sciences of satanic origin, through which Satan is working to make a non-entity of God and of Christ. The truth that God has given for His people in these last days should keep them firm when they come into the church. When into the church there come those who present false theories." Manuscript 23, 1908. Well, now we come to a crucial item. We have learned that passively listening to error has a hypnotic effect on the one listening. That's important. Now, as soon as you recognize that fact, what you are hearing does not fit the Bible spirit of prophecy pattern or just does not ring right, and yet you continue listening, what have you done? You have said to the holy angels guarding you, "I am willing to let this man implant error into my mind." when you know that error is there and yet you continue on with it, and you remain there, you are saying to the angels, you can leave. I'm taking care of myself. And whenever you are willing to let someone do it, you are letting him begin the process of taking over your mind. My friend, get out of there. Quoting, Satan tempted the first Adam in Eden, and Adam reasoned with the enemy, thus giving him the advantage. That's just what we're talking about. Satan exercised his power of hypnotism over Adam and Eve, and this power he strove to exercise over Christ. But after the word of Scripture was quoted, Satan knew that he had no chance of triumphing. 5 Bible Commentary, 1081. Why was that? That was because Christ was depending on the Word of God and would not consider the error. If you are depending on the Word of God, you will not consider the error either. And what is error? How do we define it? Or I should say, how can you know when you may be listening to error? Here is the answer. Whenever someone presents a concept to you which you have never read in the spirit of prophecy, then there's a very good likelihood you are listening to error. It is as simple as that. If it seems strangely new, then beware of it. New ideas can be fascinating, and error is especially fascinating. Satan puts a hypnotic aura around it, because Satan fevers the mind with excitement as soon as it is accepted. That is what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And one error accepted will lead to another. Soon your mind is captured, your will is controlled, and another spirit controls you. Read again the experience in Genesis 3. Read it carefully. Quote, there are doctors and ministers who have been influenced by the hypnotism exercised by the father of lies, notwithstanding the warnings given. Satan's sophistries are being accepted now just as they were accepted in the heavenly courts. The science by which our first parents were deceived is deceiving men today. Ministers, physicians are being drawn into the snare. Manuscript 79, 1905. To passively listen to error has a hypnotic effect on anyone willing to submit to the experience. To quietly listen to error will affect those around you, and it will affect you also. This is a serious matter. What about your husband, your wife, your children, which are sitting next to you? Yes, quietly listening to error can have solemn consequences. It can bring turmoil afterward to your entire family. Quote, Satan has not been stupid and careless these many years since his fall, but has been learning. He has grown more artful. His plans are laid deeper and are more covered with a religious garment to hide their deformity. The power of Satan now to tempt and deceive is tenfold greater than it was in the days of the apostles. His power has increased, and it will increase until it is taken away. 2 Spiritual Gifts, 277. By quietly listening to error, you are permitting your mind to go off guard. You know that strange, misleading errors are being presented, and yet you are willing to keep listening to the man. More error barrages you, and your mind cannot take it. Soon it hypnotically succumbs in passive assent. It is time for action. The human mind cannot handle a pile of error. It is only able to take new concepts slowly, point by point, as it carefully considers them and compares them with the Word of God. But you will find that the speaker is very anxious that that not happen. He conquers best by overwhelming the mind. It is a snow job. He just keeps pouring it on. And if someone stops to question him or object, he becomes upset. But speakers who do this are not sincere. They are not really your friend. They do not want to help you. They want to conquer you. So you think, I should be genteel and quietly listen and say nothing. But that's exactly what the speaker wants you to do and what you dare not do. My friend, there are times we must speak up and warn our friends and our loved ones, and then we must leave. And best, do all three. And when you leave, take as many as you can with you.